So we'll try to do a quick overview of the laws of Yom Kippur. We'll begin, we know these 10 days we've been in preparation and anticipation of Yom Kippur. We have a custom that we do kaparot on the eve of Yom Kippur. Some have the custom to take a chicken, pass it over their head, and then we say, Ze chalifati, ze tmurati, ze kaparati, this should be in exchange of me, this should be instead of me, this should be my atonement, this will be slaughtered and I will go to life. And then we do that three times, waving it over there, and then we give it to the poor. You don't have to wait till the eve of Yom Kippur. You could do this today already. Us Yekis, us Germanic Jews, we have a custom to do it with money, not with with chickens. I would do money. You don't have you have nothing to worry about unless you have a custom to do it with chickens. Then I wouldn't wait till the last day. I would do it now. There's
the guy who took my name down when we did the money. I think he might have put my name down incorrectly. Does that have any effect on?
You do it. Take the money. Take a machzor and do kapparas yourself with the money. Then give the money to tzedakah. There's a mitzvah to eat and drink on the eve of Yom Kippur. It's prohibited to fast. Hashem gave us a mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur. So on the eve of Yom Kippur, some say it's even holier than Yom Kippur. It's about taking the physical and sanctifying it. Yom Kippur, we separate ourselves from the physical, but the eve of Yom Kippur is an equal mitzvah to eat and drink and prepare. So Hashem wanted us to be able to fast and not be harmed by the fast. So Hashem gave us a mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur. So we have a custom throughout the day. We dip our bread in honey or sugar. On Mincha, before the big meal, before the fast, the big meal is called the Sudah Mafseket. We say Vidui, because you never know. You eat a big meal, who knows what's going to happen after the meal. Usually the bathrooms are all taken on the eve of Yom Kippur. Everyone's after a big meal. They ate, they drank, they drank, they drank, they ate, they drank, they drank. And guys drink a lot. You're here in the Middle East. It's hot. So it's good to pay your dues before Yom Kippur. If you have a makolet bill to pay up, especially your dues to shul, you know, you're coming into Yom Kippur, you want to pay up your dues. If a person can't afford it, he should pay up the money he owes, tuition for his children, whatever, you know, that these are important. Person got an aliyah and he took a dedication. Person should pay up his dues before Yom Kippur, and it helps. You're coming to pray before God. A person should try to come clean. The custom is that we eat a big meal and we finish the meal before sunset, before Ben Hashmashot. We have a mitzvah to add on to the holiness of the day. We light candles in honor of the day. Those that are married, we leave a light on in the bedroom to remind the couple that they're prohibited from being intimate that night. It's important to eat food that's easily what?
Lights of Yom Kippur.
Any lights. We leave some kind of light on in the bedroom. A couple is not allowed to be intimate in the presence of a candlelight, so we leave a light on so that that will be a reminder to them that they can't be intimate. Every couple knows they can't be intimate with a holy book in the room. They can't be intimate when there's a source of light in the room. So that's a custom. Of course they sleep separately. On the eve of Yom Kippur, we try to eat food that's easily digested. You eat a bunch of meat. You walk into a Kol Nidre after having three steaks, you're not feeling too humble. That's when you feel, I just had three steaks. So we try to eat food that's more easily digestible and things that won't get us chicken, right? We try to eat a milchik breakfast or a milchik early brunch and then a fleishik, meat afternoon meal, a nice big meal that we could come in full. There's a custom that parents have a special blessing they give their children on the eve of Yom Kippur, in which they bless them they should have a good year. It's a beautiful, long blessing that parents give their children. The proper thing is to call your parents, ask them for mechila, ask them for forgiveness for anything you might have done improperly towards them. The Sfaradim have a custom that they kiss the hands of their father and mother. And it's customary that a person asks mechila from his fellow man, and certainly if you're asking from your fellow man, you should ask from your parents. I could tell you that I'm mochel everyone. You guys don't have to ask me for mechila. I hope you guys will do me the same favor. Now, a person should try to tell the children I'm mochel for whatever they've done. The custom is that we light candles in honor of Yom Kippur. This year it falls out on Shabbos, so we light candles in honor of Shabbos and we make the blessing. We make the blessing for the lighting of Ladlik Ner Shel Shabbos for Yom Kippur. The candles now are going to be in honor of both. On Yom Kippur, we light a candle that will last through Matzah Yom Kippur, because for Havdalah we will need that candlelight. Yes, if it's relevant. Yes.
Should we be lighting?
No, so here I think the Machon lights for you. Make sure they light enough candles that every one of you has 5 cents worth value in that candle. If you're going to light, then you must light where the Machon lights, in the kitchen downstairs, wherever they light. I think they light in the lunchroom, right? Where does the Machon light for everyone? I think in the Chadar Ochel. You want to add your own candlelight, make your own blessing, fine, but you have to do it there. You're not in your room, under no circumstances. Yeah, we've already lost students to fires. What do you mean? Pikuach Nefesh. Not here. Am Yisrael has already lost. So Baruch Shem. I'm saying when you light candles on behalf of other people, every person has to have a Shavet Pruta within that candle. So if you're going to light for 300 students, every candle costs about 50 cents, 70 cents. How much does a candle cost? I don't know. Let's say 50 cents. I think it costs less. But let's say every candle costs 50 cents. So that's good for 10 students. If there are 300 students in the Machon, they should really be lighting 30 candles. So I don't know if they light 30 candles down here. So if they don't, I know in Merkaz Harav, when I was a student, they weren't. And I brought it to their attention, and then they started lighting more candles. It's not enough to light 5 candles for the whole yeshiva, in my opinion. But run it by the Rosh Yeshiva. Ask Rav Bigon. If you think they're not lighting enough, ask them. If you want to light your own, it must be downstairs in a safe place.
I know someone who every Shabbos lights in his room.
So you could tell him I said he shouldn't. Unless Rav Bigon says differently.
No, he's heard that actually. Sorry, even about the lights. So for Shabbat, they light 2 candles.
So talk to Rav Bigon about it.
But the question is, there is as if it's like a bite, so they light 2 candles. It's a minimum. Minimum is 1, but still
it's
light to candles, so it's not
patur
for everybody. Since
no, that's what I just told you.
Did
no,
what happens if you go to a family to a
that's not for now. Let's continue. We put white tablecloths like on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, and we have the custom to wear nice clothing. Sephardim have a custom to wear white clothing. Married people wear a kittel, and we wear a talis for all the prayers. Yom Kippur, the night and the day are equal. We don't do work on Yom Kippur. This year falls out on Shabbos, but even if it wouldn't fall out on Shabbos, all the prohibitions of Shabbos apply on Yom Kippur. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't wash out our mouths, we don't anoint ourselves, we don't wear shoes, meaning if you have shoes of leather, so we wear slippers or socks, and couples are prohibited from being intimate. Let's say a person had a wet dream on Yom Kippur, so he wakes up and he's all filthy, so then he could wipe it off. If it's already dried up on him, so he could wash it off, because you don't go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to immerse yourself in water, but a person that's dirty may wash the dirt off. So this is like any other dirt, he may cleanse himself and clean it off. So he can't take a full shower, but he could clean that part of him off. Is not allowed to anoint himself. If a guy has lice, so he could put whatever he needs to put on for the lice. We don't wear shoes, but if you have clogs or if you have shoes that are made of any material other than leather, so then that's okay. You want to wear a leather watch and a leather belt, that's no problem. The prohibition is just shoes of leather. The prohibition of having relations, we extend it and we say that a couple should treat one another as though they're in the prohibitive state, so they don't even touch, and they separate the beds. By daytime, there's room to be more lenient if necessary, to pass things at least from hand to hand, even though a couple, when they're prohibited, wouldn't do that. But by daytime, we say it's not so, we're not so worried something's going to happen. Smelling besamim, so that there are opinions that say that's okay, and that's one way to fulfill the 100 blessings on Yom Kippur. We don't make kids fast, and when a child becomes close to being of age, then you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. None of you have that right now, so we're not going to discuss it. Women who are pregnant or nursing should ask their local Orthodox rabbi. Technically, everyone has to fast, but today we have, unfortunately, all kinds of complications, and so there is no blanket statement what a pregnant or a nursing woman should do. Every woman should consult with her rabbi. a woman who just gave birth, a person who just had an operation, a person who has a heart condition, a person who has diabetes, a person who has blood pressure issues, a person who has anemia, different medical issues. In every circumstance, they should consult with their local Orthodox rabbi. The people who think they're being stringent in disregarding doctor's orders without consulting a rabbi, you have to know that just like there's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur for those who have an obligation to fast, by the same token there's a mitzvah to eat for those that have an obligation to eat. There are those elderly people who must eat. I was once on the phone with an old relative of ours. The doctor, he was just after bypass surgery. The doctor said he must eat, and the family felt he might not eat. So I spent 45 minutes on the phone with him explaining to him that this is his mitzvah, this Yom Kippur. And if he doesn't eat this Yom Kippur, then he might as well write his own religion because it has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. He's inventing his own thing. I told him, you want to fast, you're inventing your own religion, so choose any day in the week. Why do you have to do it on Yom Kippur? It's your own invention. You want to invent a religion. You can fast any day of the week you want. According to Judaism, you have to eat. That's your mitzvah. You say, hinini muchan umzuman, I'm preparing myself to do the mitzvah that Hashem told me that on this day I must eat. And then there are different halachos. Some people have to eat small amounts. Some people have to eat normal amounts. Some people have to drink small amounts. Some people have to drink normal amounts. These are all their own issues. Yom Kippur, 3 years ago, I was in the hospital, and there were situations of children that were in danger of dehydration, and they were nursing, and their mothers were fasting, and there were women who just gave birth, and there were people in all kinds of medical situations who were in doubt as to whether they were risking their lives in fasting or not. So where we can verify, we do verify. But where we have a situation of doubt and we cannot verify, if there's a situation like we had in the hospital, all kinds of situations where we couldn't verify, but there was a question that the child was vomiting and the child could only nurse and the mother was in danger of drying out on him and the mother didn't want to drink on Yom Kippur. So I came down in the middle of Musaf and I told the woman, lady, you have to drink. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm pouring you the cup of milk. You drink a whole cup of milk right now. So, of course, I spoke to doctors first. We verified the issue. But the rule is, if there's a situation which unfortunately was not verified before Yom Kippur, when in doubt, we have no choice but to say that we have to be machmir on the mitzvah of saving one's life at the expense of Yom Kippur and tell a person to eat. Any situation of doubt, a person's life has to come first. The smart person doesn't put himself in a situation of doubt. He verifies the halacha before Yom Kippur. But if one finds himself in a situation where the situation is not verifiable, then one has no choice but to be machmir on the laws of pikuach nefesh and break the fast. Again, the intelligent person verifies beforehand. And at the circumstance, if time permits, then you could verify then. If by verifying you endanger the person's life, or you might endanger the person's life, then you don't verify, you give the person to drink and to eat. If it's relevant, because we're short on time, yes?
Maybe it's not relevant.
Okay. We have a rule that fasting on Yom Kippur is a biblical mitzvah. Praying on Yom Kippur is not biblical. Sometimes, if a person will spend his Yom Kippur in bed, then they won't have to break the fast. If they'll be at rest in a cool place, then they won't have to break the fast. We tell those people, stay in bed. Rest the whole Yom Kippur. There are circumstances where today I told the person that he's not going to shul this Yom Kippur. If his wife stays in bed, there's a better chance that she will fast and not have to break the fast, given her medical situation. He has a mitzvah to be home and deal with the kids. He's not allowed to go to shul. He has to be there to ensure that she could fast. The mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur is biblical. It's obviously very important. The mitzvah of davening in shul is not biblical. It's very important. We all want to do it. It's the whole theme of Yom Kippur is expressed in our prayers in Yom Kippur, but at the end of the day, it is not biblical. And so, if by going to shul, one will have to break the fast, or will risk having to break the fast, then we say stay in bed. And sometimes, in staying in bed, a person can fast more easily. We're not going to go into all these halachot. We just have to know that it is a terrible sin if one endangers one's life but in fasting on Yom Kippur when they shouldn't. I personally lost a friend who did fast on Yom Kippur when the doctors told him not to. He said, I'm okay, what do they know? It's Yom Kippur, the mitzvah will protect me. And he died, and he didn't make it to his own son's wedding. His son was set to wed shortly after Yom Kippur, and he died. He did not make it to his own son's wedding. The rule is, we go with the halacha. And the halacha says, verify with the doctor, verify with the rabbi, and then don't be a wise aleck. Do what the halacha says. The religion has what to say about breaking the fast too. Now, it's not only about fasting. Old people have to ask their shayla. And that basically covers it. It's not enough to talk to a doctor. You have to take the doctor's information and give it to a rabbi. Again, a smart person verifies this beforehand. He doesn't wait till the last minute. We won't go into all the halachas of if you eat, then how much do you eat, etc. All of this you'll post to your rabbi. On Yom Kippur, we are told that we have all the sacrifices that the Kohen would bring on this holy day, the holiest day of the year. The Kohen Gadol would go into the Holy of Holies, and these sacrifices would provide atonement for us. Hashem says, your speech to me is as cherished as the sacrifices. And so if we, in our prayer, when we recount what happened on Yom Kippur, our prayer is representative of the service of the Kohen on Yom Kippur, and it has the capacity to provide atonement for us. That is the great strength of the prayer of Yom Kippur. Our custom is that those who wear talis throughout the year wear talis throughout Yom Kippur. We try to don the talis early in the day on the eve of Yom Kippur so we can still make a blessing on the talis. If you only don the talis when it's already twilight, when it's Bein HaShemesh or Shkia, so then you cannot make a blessing on the talis. There are different customs as to different prayers and poems that are said in the introduction of Yom Kippur. The Sfardim say a song by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Lecha Eli, to you my potent one God, in which we confess our sins before God. Our goal in confessions is between us and God. In Judaism we don't confess to the rabbi, it's between us and God, and no one else has to hear about it. The Ashkenazim, some say Tefillah Zakah, which is a prayer that was composed by the Chai Odom, in which a person asks God to cleanse himself. He says, God, you know, I've looked over my limbs, look at every limb I've done something wrong with. And he asks God for forgiveness for everything he's done wrong. It's fitting in Tefillah Zakah, we say that we forgive everyone else for anything they might have done to us. If you don't say Tefillah Zakah at the beginning of Yom Kippur, you could say it at any other time. You could say it after prayer. It's its own prayer. We say Kol Nidre, in which we begin the holiday in annulling our vows and permitting the sinners to join our fast. Notice that at the very beginning of the fast, we're saying there are people in our congregation who are willful sinners. They don't care about the mitzvos. And when it comes Yom Kippur, they want to join. And we are taught that God says, I will only accept a fast day in which all of my people are united. All of my people includes from top to bottom, including those that are on the very bottom, those willful sinners. And so on the eve of Yom Kippur, before we enter this holy day, we permit all vows and we permit everyone to join in this prayer, even those who on a regular day we'd have an issue with them joining our prayer. The guy who sells pork down the block, the guy who purposely keeps his shop open on Shabbos, different people who have different sins, and we have real issues with these people. But on Yom Kippur we say, on Yom Kippur we unite and we stand together before our Creator. When we say Kol Nidre, the custom is that the Chazan stands and they take out Sefer Torah and people stand to his sides. He says it the first time at volume 1, and the second time he raises the volume a little bit, and the third time he raises it a little bit more. The custom is that we pray over the souls of those that have passed away, and we take dedications to give charity on their behalf on Yom Kippur. Some have a custom that they leave a candle lit in their memory. Don't take that candle too seriously. Historically, people would think if that candle goes out, who knows what happens, and then they desecrate the Yom Tov and relight the candle. That's a biblical prohibition. We light a candle in their memory, and that's it. You want light it in a good place, and that's fine. We try to have a lot of light in shul and at home in honor of the holiday, and that's another reason why we see candles all around on Yom Kippur. Yes?
Does the Chazan stand with two people to his different side to represent the Sargon and the...
Yeah. When we say the Ma'ariv prayer, as is the case with the Shachris prayer, after Shema, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Lo'olam Ve'ed. We say that out loud. Ordinarily, we whisper it because only angels can be holy enough to say it. On Yom Kippur, where we're like angels, we've purified ourselves. We don't eat, we don't drink, we separate from the mundane. So on Yom Kippur, we allow ourselves to say that out loud. that there's a custom in some places that the whole congregation says Shema together. I don't think Ashkenazim do that. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, like this week, we say Vayechulu, and we say the blessing after Arvit, Magen Avot B'Dvarom Chayim Tim B'Mamaro, what's called Me'ein Sheva. And now we're up to the mitzvah of Vidui, which we'll pick up with Bezat Shem a little bit later. Yes, sir.